This is Live from the Table, a Comedy Cellar affiliated podcast coming at you on Sirius XM 99 Raw Dog. And on the Laugh Button Podcast Network, I'm here with Perry L. Ashenbrand. She's the show's producer, for want of a better designation. We have Dov Davidoff with us. He's a regular at the Comedy Cellar and a frequent guest here on Live from the Table. And of course, there is our unsung behind the scenes hero, Miss Nicole Lyons, who does our audio and video. Nicole, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I rely on Nicole because for her opinions on the show, because I feel she's sort of an every woman.
Yes.
And so I ask her, I think if she likes what we're doing, it's probably good. Now, the only problem is her opinions, she's hard to read.
Well, she doesn't like what you're doing. And so she's trying to hide it. So you experience that as opacity, when in fact it is.
That may be. But I think she's sort of an understated person to begin with. But you may be onto something.
No, she's not an easy read.
But you also.
But she's from upstate New York, and that's how those people typically.
That's
are.
How they
she's
typically are. You got to grin and bear it, baby. You got to get up early.
She's outside from the Binghamton area. Not even Binghamton. Binghamton was like a big trip for these people.
Yes. No. Such a.
Binghamton's like, well, we're going to the city. And listen, then it was Binghamton. What's the name of that town you're from again?
Appalachian. But
is that near Oneonta at all?
It's sort of. It's maybe like an hour or so.
Okay. That was the big thing from the commune, the cult my mother was on, is that we would get to go to Oneonta once a week.
That's like in Little House on the Prairie when they would go to Mankato.
Yep. There was a movie house in Oneonta. And
why did you just drop the A?
Well, because I'm trying to make this more interesting. It's just clearly as dull as it gets right now. So we're trying to, I don't know. I think you drop a couple of letters off. You got an Oneonta, you got a Binghamton.
And you seem to think that Nicole would actually tell you if she thought it was just painfully boring.
Well, but that's the thing. I don't listen to what she's saying. I listen to how she's
saying. Yes.
But how she's saying it doesn't seem to vary a lot.
They call him between the lines, Natterman. He can read you, boy. Poker face, Natterman.
You know, she says, "Oh yeah, it was very, very good."
Yes.
And then I know that she hated it.
Yes.
You know, it's like when you it's the same thing in show business. Nobody ever tells
That's
you the
right.
truth. If you say
it's the way they use the word love, because everybody says I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
But you pitch a show to a network, they always are going to love it.
Yep.
They're going to say that. So yes. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan can mean anything from
been leaving your voicemails for a year and a half. If you're such a big fan, what's wrong with your cell phone? Because I haven't seen anything from your side. If you're such a big fan,
Can mean anything from big fan to drop dead.
I hate your guts. I hate your guts. I'm a big fan.
But you have to listen to how they're saying it and what they're doing.
Big fan.
In any case, I want to. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a pretty big loss in the comedy world this week, in the stand-up comedy world. Bud Friedman, Gerson Friedman was his real name, I found out. Bud Friedman, at the age of 90, died this week in Los Angeles. Bud was the founder and owner of the Improv Comedy Club, originally in New York. It started in 1963. It had comedy and music, and then he brought it out to Los Angeles. I know, Dov, you lived in L.A., for some number of years. I don't know if you were a regular at Bud's club or not.
Well, certainly I was at the Improv. Yeah. Was that Bud's club? Yeah. Or had he sold it by that time?
No, I think it was his until, I don't know if he ever sold.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sure. I didn't know that. And I don't think he was there much because I was there.
Well, he hasn't been well the past, say, 9 years or so.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. No, I'm very familiar with the club and the brand, you know, and now it's, they have improvs all over the country, and I think Bud used to be more active.
Franchise. I don't think Bud owned them. I think they.
Okay, so he sold the rights.
I think that
he was the Subway of comedy.
Yeah, I think that he sold the name Improv. How much value it had? I mean, the Improv. There was a TV show, Evening of the Improv. So I guess that there was a time when the name Improv, in and of itself, probably did bring some people into the door. I don't know if that's still the case.
Without quality control, what good is a brand? I mean, the whole thing about, you know, when you go to McDonald's, you don't want it looking entirely different down the road with different food, right? I mean, the whole thing about a brand is the associated value.
Yeah. So,
but what do I know? No one cares.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know with like a comedy club franchise, like a McDonald's franchise, you got to go to McDonald's University and learn how to make the burgers.
That's right. And so I wondered what Bud did for this franchise.
Yeah, there really is, I think, a McDonald's U or a hamburger.
Oh, it's a fine institution of higher learning.
You have to
go
to McDonald's University.
I don't know if they call it that, but something
the university.
Like
that. Wow. Oh.
Because everything has to be the exact same.
Right, right, right.
So with a comedy club, I don't know to what extent.
You got an MBS. It's a master's in burger science. You go to a McDonald's University.
But anyway, you said you had a story about Bud.
I do have a story about Bud. I probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was writing a weekly column, which is actually how I met Noam also.
What was the column about, Perry?
It was called The Chosen Ones. It was for Tablet Magazine.
Oh.
It was sort of famous and famous-ish or culturally relevant Jews. Tablet's a Jewish cultural magazine.
Oh, okay.
And I had just started getting into comedy. And so I was really interested in interviewing people of the like. And so I reached out to Bud to see if I could interview him. And they said, yes. I think he had just had a book come out. And they told me to meet him in a hotel. I think this was pre-Weinstein. And so I said, sure. And I showed up.
Oh, my word. And she was a firecracker.
And nobody had mentioned that Bud at that point was paralyzed and in a wheelchair and had a massive stroke and couldn't speak.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the past like 7, 8 years, he wasn't, functioning.
I didn't know that. Wow.
It was, but I think mentally he was totally there. But when you have a massive stroke, if it affects the side of your brain that controls the speech, you become paralyzed and your speech becomes affected. Sure. It was such a crazy thing to omit from. Like, hi, would you like to interview this person?
Yeah, to sort of prepare to communicate as best you could, because he could still masturbate, which is really the important part of this meeting.
That's what I found. No,
That's the left.
That was
the
takeaway. Now, luckily, my grandmother had that same exact kind of stroke, so I actually didn't flinch, and I knew how to rock and roll. But it was. Yeah. Pretty crazy. And he was really lovely.
I bet. Yeah.
But not in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only interacted with him a couple of times. We did a cruise together. He did like an improv at sea. Like, this was in the 90s, and I spent a week on a cruise ship with him.
How is that?
It was interesting.
He
was quite
in the 90s.
Yeah. We were on the Westerdam, Holland America Line Westerdam.
Was he in comedy then? I don't know much about him.
He owned the club. And,
I know he owned it.
He was also host of the evening at the Improv.
Oh, okay. So he was sort of a performer.
So he went on stage and he was more of the MC.
Personality in comedy. Gotcha.
And he had that.
Yeah, he was wore a monocle.
Oh, I remember the monocle. Yes.
Now, was that just for show or?
I think so. Yeah, I think.
He was sort of a dapper guy.
Either that or he's selling peanuts.
Now, classic move. You get yourself a monocle, you sell a peanut.
You know the Planters peanut guy.
Tremendous branding. Nothing more erudite than the peanut.
I was watching on YouTube Louis Farrakhan. He does like this hour long defense of Kyrie. I always think Kyrie because Mr. song, but.
Kyrie Irving.
Spelled the same way, but Kyrie.
How does a, anti-Semitic guy, well, I guess, of course he's going to defend it.
Yeah,
I mean, you're just not looking, you'd need to hear from a more legitimate source in that context, but go ahead.
The point is none of that's the point that I want to make.
Sorry.
The point is this guy looks amazing.
Oh, does he look good,
boy? He's 89 years old, which
89.
I didn't realize. I'm watching him on YouTube. I'm like, yo, he's been around a while. I remember him from college. How old is this guy? Like 70? I look up, this guy's 89 years old, and he rants about the Jews like a man half his age.
he's as passionate as ever when it comes to.
I mean, not just that he looks good, but his when he speaks, passionately about things that interest him, the Jewish
hatred of the white,
hatred of the white people in general.
Yeah.
The energy and dynamism, and you have to. Well, you have to admire that. Nicole, is there any way we can pull up maybe a little clip of Farrakhan speaking about Kyrie and Kanye? It's on YouTube. If you just Google search Kyrie and Farrakhan, I don't know if you can do that or not.
I'll try.
Oh, look who's here.
But, okay, is he here already?
I don't think so.
Oh. That really threw me for a loop. But, that noise.
Yeah.
Well, all that loathing probably keeps him young.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Sweet, sweet loathing.
You have that passion. I mean, we've talked about that before.
Fire.
That if you have
fire.
A passion for something, it keeps you young, right?
That could be part of it.
So
I mean,
hating
could be part
Jews.
Of it, or maybe he intermittent fasts, or I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he had, because he's a Muslim, you know, maybe they have a diet that's, or maybe he's just got good genetics. But whatever it is.
People have always undervalued the hatred variable, that kind of the vitriol.
A lot of these
in
Nazis.
In terms of longevity of a life. I mean, you talk about love and family. Nobody ever says, you know what's good? You know, you want to live a good long time. Really develop a stiff, hatred of a group of people.
A lot of those Nazis lived quite a while as well.
Certainly so did.
I don't know if
certainly
there's any, did. We can make anything of it, or if there's a study that's been done on this. But, and Nicole, how are we doing on the Farrakhan clip?
I don't think we can because of Zoom. Sorry.
Okay. But I would tell people to go look just to search on YouTube Farrakhan and Kanye, and he does first of all, for an 89-year-old to rant for an hour.
He's got a lot of energy, you know. I mean, look, we're being tongue in cheek about this whole thing, but I think if you're passionate about anything, what we learn from, you know, people, if you have this message, and he clearly does, he's been a communicator for, I don't know, half a century. He's a passionate guy, keeps himself in shape. And, he
doesn't
loves...
look like he's that in shape.
He's robust.
He's sort of doughy.
He's robust. But to be 89 and you're not skinny and wasting away is in and of itself. I mean, at that age, you kind of want to be a little bit.
Listen,
bigger.
I'm really most interested in how he got a million views on that video.
Because people don't like Jews. That's how he got a million views on that video.
Right. Yeah.
And people especially. And people do like Farrakhan. He's got a big following. He's very charming. He speaks very well. He's captivating. I'm listening to him like, you know, and then I have to remember that I'm Jewish, but I'm like, you know, your dad, those fucking, oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But no, he's very, very captivating as a speaker.
Okay.
You know, and he's speaking to an audience that's very ready to hear it.
Mm.
A lot of what he's saying. So,
there's
your million views right there.
It's a lot of views, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Is it a lot of views
for
him is the question, right? Well, is it people that tune in to watch him weekly anyhow? Does he get a million views every week or did it bump up twice because of the Jews?
but he's been famous for a long time.
Well, many, many, many years.
I'm really just thinking in terms of how to generate that for my own career.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you go hardcore anti-Semite. You'll have a raving. You'll have such a following. It's a deal with the devil, but.
And he's up on things. He's up on, you know, the latest, what's going on in the world. And Brother Kyrie.
I have an interesting, since people are probably losing the thread, I can feel the audience at home. They've heard about this Farrakhan.
I was about to do my Farrakhan impression.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
And
man.
Brother Kyrie, I say to you, stand strong.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. And that's a good impression, man.
Because you know and we know you. He's talking about the Jews. He goes, we know your Torah. And we know your Talmud. And we know you. And you will not break us. And I say to Brother Kyrie, but that's, you know.
That's very good.
That was amazing.
That was very good.
Yeah. So what was he saying more specifically? But
What's his reasons for not liking?
Because the Jews owned the slave ships that brought my people in chains.
That's really good.
I don't think that's true, is it?
But even if it were, the people that work on the slave, it's not like it was just the Jews. I mean, the white.
Well, he wrote a book years ago called The Secret History Between Blacks and Jews, where he said that the slave trade was largely in Jewish hands. No, I don't think that is true. But that's what he said.
Okay.
And that's what he believes. And that the ships were owned primarily by Jews, according to this thesis that he, which again, I don't think has any basis in reality.
Right, right, right. Not that that matters.
But even if it did, if you had some opportunistic Jews that are able to get this boat together and operate those logistics and generate a business, the people on the other side buying the slaves were white Southerners with cotton plantations, none of whom were Jewish.
Well, that's with the exception of a few, including, oddly enough, Larry David's great grandfather. Oh, this is true. Larry David's great grandfather was a slave owner and a Confederate soldier. I mean, of all people,
incredible.
Of all people, you would say that would be the least likely to have a Confederate ancestor. Larry David would be up in the your top five.
That's top five least likely to have a Confederate grandfather. Yeah.
Would be him.
Awful.
Yeah, top five.
And I guess George Takei would be all the.
Yes, he would be up there. Yes.
But and others, but yeah, Larry David. So it's bizarre, but
yeah.
But the slave trade was regrettably, everybody was in on it.
Of course, everybody.
Everybody was in on it, from including Africans, including Jews.
Well, that's
including,
no excuse. I mean, that doesn't.
I'm not saying it.
No, it's not an excuse. But you're choosing one people to go down to get down on, and you had black people selling other black people into slavery, and then other people capitalizing on that sale. And so everybody seems guilty.
Sure, everybody has blood on their hands.
Everybody has blood on their hands.
And I don't even think his premise that the slave ships were largely owned by Jews is correct. But I haven't studied it. But I from what little I've read, it's not.
Where does he live?
I don't know where he lives, but I'll tell you where he doesn't live.
Where?
Roslyn, Long Island.
Great Neck, Long Island.
Jerusalem.
But I don't know where he lives. Maybe Nicole can look it up. Maybe she can't. I don't know.
I can look it up.
If I had to guess a guy like that, I would say the South. I'm going to guess Georgia. I'm going to say Georgia, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like an Atlanta, maybe.
Georgia.
It's coming up.
Or maybe Detroit, because I think Detroit or Chicago is another, because I think he's with Elijah Muhammad, who I think was from that area.
Big presence. Used to have a big presence in Brooklyn, too, right?
Not sure.
Okay, we're going to keep playing this game. I like this. So what's your final answer?
My final answer, I think he might have been born overseas. Okay. Was he born overseas?
What are you saying?
Oh, I have no idea. Dan knows as much about Farrakhan. I have no idea.
Born in New York City.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Born in New York City. Okay. I know he used to be a calypso singer, so I thought maybe he was.
It's unbelievable. Why do you know so much about Farrakhan? I don't know anything.
I've been following the guy. You know, years ago, he was like, years ago back in the 90s, we're talking about, he was going to come to UPenn where I was a student.
I don't know
if he ever came or he didn't come, but it was a big brouhaha where like the Jewish students were saying we don't want him, and a lot of the black students, not all, were saying how dare you try to shut down Farrakhan, and so it was a big thing even then, he's been around a long time, and he's been obviously around well before then.
Right.
That's when I first got wind of him. So where does he live now?
Chicago.
I said Chicago. I think Chicago was one of my guesses.
But he also bought a house in Arizona. How many children does he have?
Minister Farrakhan is a fertile man. I mean, if it's any to look at him, I think he could have kids now.
Yes, he's very fertile.
So he's got at least 8 kids. A lot of those guys have a lot of kids. Anyway.
He's catching up to Nick Cannon.
How many he got?
He has 9.
9 kids.
Oh, it's a heavy, heavy load, boy.
Ew, gross.
That is a lot of kids. And Nicole, any thoughts about the show so far?
Well, again,
I'm the wrong person
to ask, because I don't know who this person is. I'm like very out of the loop.
You don't know who Minister Farrakhan is?
I do not.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that she doesn't know that. Most people, I think, of this generation don't know Farrakhan.
But you've surmised, given the discussion that we've been having, that he is a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is what they call it. What's the name of that?
Prophet.
Well,
it's
like
a Muslim.
Black, but it's a brand of Muslim. I think
you're 5%.
Black 5%er. Muslim or I don't know what they call it. It's not like traditional Islam, I don't think, but it's something. Perry, I was looking this up.
Yes, their brand of Islam, as I understand it.
I guess
what Muhammad Ali got involved.
Oh, he was in the name, right?
Minister the Nation of Temple, Islam. The Nation.
Yeah, the Nation of Islam.
Nation. The Nation of it. That's it. The Nation of Islam. The Nation. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nicole, you learned something today.
There you go. Yeah.
I always learn from this show.
I guess that brings us to, well, first of all, one quick thing. For longtime listeners of the show, you know that years ago, Chris Montella was a co-host.
Yes.
Kristen Montella. She used to work here at the Comedy Cellar. She was a co-host for the first several years of this podcast. I have not seen her in about 5 or 6 years. Oh. Big Steve King, who was the security guard around the corner, died. Yeah. And we talked about this on a previous episode. And there was a memorial service for him around the corner at the Village Underground. And Chris Montella was there. I have not seen her in about 5 or 6 years. I see her. I expect a big greeting.
Oh,
and I got a, oh, hey, Dan, how you doing? And continued walking.
Yes. Yeah.
I was a bit crestfallen, I must say.
Crestfallen. I saw the look on his face.
You know, you haven't seen somebody in 5 years. I didn't necessarily expect. I expected, but I didn't expect that.
Well, you didn't expect a nod, a passing nod.
Yeah.
Hey. There you go. Sorry, yeah, somebody you saw a few days ago on the train. Yeah.
You know, look, I mean, obviously.
Well, how did it end?
That's it. Did she, you know, I didn't.
No. I mean, before that, like, how did she leave the show? Like, did she leave under good?
Oh, yeah. I think it was about the time she got married and she just wanted to move on. You know, it wasn't bad at all. Mm-hmm.
According to the guy you're asking, according to the girl who gave him a stiff, icy shoulder. But yeah, no, I got you.
Does she still perform? Is she still?
She was never a performer. She used to manage here.
Oh, well, you said
and she was on the podcast. Okay. She worked here as a manager.
Okay. Well, you didn't. That was not clear.
I'm sorry. That was not clear. And she then became the co-host. No one thought she'd be good on the podcast. She was kind of snippy dippy, as I guess maybe that incident illustrates. But she was a bit snarky. A bit, you know, whatever.
And she's a fun counterpoint personality, you know.
Yeah, and so she was the co-host.
God,
she did roughly what you do before you.
Well, I was just going to say, I can only imagine how you must describe me when I'm not around.
How I describe
you? Yeah.
And positive, mostly positive.
And mostly ways. Positive.
I don't. In fact, I think entirely positive.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Anyway, so if Chris Montella is listening, which I don't think she is, know that you hurt me profoundly.
I'm positive, not listening.
And deeply. I thought that we had a little something more than that. But in it.
Well, why didn't you say? I'm so happy to see you. You were just.
Well, it's first of all, that's not in my nature, I felt rejected, and so I didn't. I just walked out and that was that.
And with Deer Wounds. I mean, I know I feel like we're like futzing around here waiting for.
Well,
Noah.
Then we will start. Well,
but let's
what
talk
you
about
call the... futzing. I call genius podcast.
I want to hear.
Perhaps
about
there's a bit of a linguistic issue.
I want to talk about the ping pong picture.
We can talk about the picture. Should I briefly? I didn't think it would, but you were apparently profoundly affected by it.
Yeah.
Because to me, it wasn't a big deal. But there is a picture.
Wait. I need to pull it up so I can read exactly what you wrote. Because speaking of linguistic twists, I don't know if it was the wording, but this made me scream.
Yeah. Yes.
With laughter, like howl.
Yeah. Well, Dan's very funny.
Well,
so Dan posted a picture on Instagram.
Yes, I saw it.
Picture from 1984. Yeah. I'm in high school, freshman year, playing ping pong with Mark Lotstein, who was one of my classmates.
Lotstein, Wong.
Whilst Herman Huang and some other guy.
Italian last name.
Yeah. Were looking on. I had no idea. I remember actually playing ping pong freshman year. I don't remember anybody taking a picture of it. This picture winds up on eBay somehow.
That is tremendous. I mean,
And it says historic images on it.
Well, this is a very historic image. I mean,
well,
you're talking
historic Natterman Lotstein.
You're talking about Lotstein, Wong, Natterman, and Patino. I mean, this is some game.
And then Dan, in the caption, Dan writes, how a photo of me playing ping pong in gym class with @MarkLotstein wound up on eBay. Only God knows.
I know. As if Lotstein were a significant presence in anybody else's life. No, it's tremendous.
And then I wanted to buy it.
But it's no longer available, I think.
So somebody bought it.
Or it didn't make the bid. Or somebody put it on for $9 million. You know, what was the bid on?
$50,000.
Oh, so sweet.
Somebody bought it. If you're the one who bought that picture, it's probably one of your fans bought the picture.
I don't think anybody bought that picture.
Somebody bought that picture.
And can you tell?
I didn't know it was on eBay because I would have bought it.
Can you tell it's me? I mean, it's sort of a
Well, it says that it's you.
I know it says in the back, it says the photo.
It probably says
there's
like
no
comedian.
Price I wouldn't have paid. You know what? How much? I'd love to know what.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up. Dan Natterman.
I mean, who posts that?
Maybe it was in the local newspaper or something.
Right, but who cut it out and put it on eBay?
Yeah, I don't know. And why would they? You know.
No, it's maybe the original image. It's not a. It's
so this historic
is a
new,
a
image.
Newspaper. What are they selling? The newspaper clipping?
No,
if it was
I think
in the original photo.
How did you find that?
Because Mark Lodstein told me.
Oh,
Mark Lodstein. I wish we could have call in.
Lodstein said, "You can't look what I found. I was looking for like some ping pong pictures for something I was doing, and this
really,
I just popped up."
But on eBay, of all places,
yeah,
I figured it popped up on
when
Facebook.
You, no, when you Google it,
by way of Huang.
When you Google it, you get to the eBay link. But
wow.
I can't find it.
Oh, that's
it.
Good stuff, boy. That's good stuff.
Oh, here it is.
What? Whoa, she's screaming.
You got
it's
it
here.
On
I'm buying
eBay?
It.
On eBay? Wait,
yeah.
I'm going to outbid you.
No.
What is going on here?
Can we show the picture or no, Nicole?
No, we can't.
Okay, Nicole. I'll tell you, Nicole doesn't sugarcoat it. She'll tell you. No, we can't. She's not saying, okay. Let me try.
No,
we can't. Don't ask.
No.
1984 press photo, Mark Lodstein and Daniel Natterman play ping pong in gymnasium.
That is tremendous.
The seller, interestingly enough.
Yeah, who's the seller?
Historic Images. 01. Nobody buy this. I'm buying it before anybody can buy it.
Well, but
I thought we were live for a second. We're not live.
I'm also interested in why the seller and who owns Historic Images, that's the name of a company, or are they suggesting this in fact is a historic image?
I think maybe both. Like
he's a collector, and then he takes his historic images to eBay. And so the great game between, so we're not talking about Kasparov
who'd be interested in that?
exactly. We're talking about the Lodstein, Wong, Natterman, and Patino.
It would be a great image on a T-shirt, for example.
It would be a tremendous image as far as I'm concerned. I'm just wondering
the general public would be clamoring for that.
Well, maybe
T-shirt.
We'll find out.
All right.
Maybe we'll have our first piece of merch.
Listen, did you bid on it?
Did you buy it?
T-shirts.
I need to log out, but I'm going to buy it.
And by the way, Natterman's good at ping pong, too. He's good at it.
I'm not bad.
Ping pong was like a big thing. Remember, like Susan Sarandon bought like a ping pong club.
I've been there. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, she's an investor over there. It's a cool club.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Mr. Dwarman?
He's gallivanting around Tel Aviv.
As we know, Noam doesn't need a big excuse not to do the podcast.
He's three sheets to the wind,
you know,
wandering his way up Mount Masada. Right,
he has an excuse not to do the podcast. He's not going to hesitate to use it unless we really harass him.
All right. Well, we can get started he can chime in if he joins.
Is this Noam?
Oh.
There he is.
Okay. Well,
speak of the dev.
From Tel Aviv, Israel, the capital of the world Jewish conspiracy. Or is it Jerusalem? I'm not sure. I think they have offices in Tel Aviv.
Yes.
As well as Great Neck.
I believe so. Yes, of course.
And Toronto.
Yeah.
Noam Dwarman.
Hello,
Noam. I hope you're sober enough to do the podcast. Are you?
I don't know if I am or not. I'm greetings from Tel Aviv.
Greetings from what hotel are you at, by the way?
Hotel Simba.
Simba. Anyway, I hope you have a good.
Thanks for asking, Dan. I'm sure everybody at home is familiar with the name of the hotel.
Well, that they're our sponsor. We have to.
Oh, I didn't know.
I made that up.
I felt.
Is Coleman in the room with you?
He's under the bed.
He's under the covers. No, Coleman's not in the room with me. No.
Okay. Sheba Mason, everybody, I will reintroduce her. As I was saying before, she's a comedian. She also runs a room. She is a producer of comedy shows. And with her is Ian Wirl. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes. Can I ask a question? Is anyone involved in this media engagement at the moment not Jewish?
My mother's Dove's mother.
Yeah. And I grew up in a working class environment, so I don't have any of the
Ian
positive
Ian
Long
Worley.
Island affect.
But Jewish, I'm Jewish. It's Worley, but I'm Jewish.
Worley is with her. He, are you a stand-up?
No.
Okay. He anyway.
He's playing Jackie Mason.
Sheba is producing and starring in and did you write it? A musical?
Well, so my mother wrote it. Oh. It's a play. It's a musical comedy with a cast of eight. And it's about her 10-year relationship with Jackie Mason.
Oh.
And it has toured off Broadway. It's been off Broadway, Chicago, Long Island. And he's been in the show for like 10 years off and on playing Jackie Mason.
And he looks like Jackie Mason a little bit.
And he does the voice and everything else.
And you play your mother.
I play my mother and I get pregnant with myself. But she wrote all the music and stuff like that, except for one song, which is called The Finger, which is where he explains what really happened on the Ed Sullivan Show that night.
Well, so where is this playing, this show now?
It's at Caroline's. It's part of the New York Comedy Festival.
Whoa.
It's on Sunday matinees at 3.
And
but does he hate Caroline's?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, Noam is very, does not mind if other clubs get plugged on. Noam is very secure.
I mean, we're looking at it as a theater, not a comedy club, because it's a matinee.
They're my competitor.
And we don't know our competitors.
Yeah, we would love to do it at the Village Underground on Sunday matinees. Yeah. Village Underground is a big stage.
There Will Be Blood, the movie There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
You are my competitor.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a milkshake and you have a milkshake.
Okay, that's right. There's a thing in me that cannot be happy for another man.
I cannot take pleasure in the success of another man.
So do you consider this basically is it an homage to Jackie Mason, or is it sort of a no holds barred kind of a thing where are we going to come out of this musical saying that Jackie's a great guy or a flawed man or a deeply flawed man? How are we going to, what are we going to think when we come out of this musical?
Well, he's like a
like Odysseus. You're going to say, wow, that guy had some troubles, but he had some successes. And look what we got out of it. We got Sheba and Mason out of it.
Is Sheba Mason in the character Sheba Mason is a little girl in the musical?
No, but you see my mother get pregnant, so I get pregnant with myself. But she doesn't crucify him or anything.
No, that's something to say.
Did he say like Odysseus?
Yeah, he compared Jackie Mason to Odysseus.
Odysseus with, all right.
Do I have to pretend that I know what that meant?
Odysseus, that was Homer's.
You were
talking
about Greek diners. I thought you guys knew some Greek stuff.
Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that was the best analogy or not, but
he runs into the Cyclops, Ed Sullivan. He runs into the Tentacula, you know, her mother. You know, he runs into all these problems in his life come up.
Can you get rid of this guy?
The travails, the journey. Sheba, is this cathartic for you?
Well,
or is it painful?
It's cathartic. You don't really feel any more pain about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like.
Yeah.
He died. Was it a year ago? How long? We had you on the show shortly after he passed.
And... Yeah, you had me. I think it was like right after he passed. It was like August 18th or 19th. You had me. So that was like a year and a half ago. Yeah. And this is really a tribute to the life and legacy of Jackie Mason.
Wow.
You know, he's played by a really cute guy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We have people that are lifelong fans of his that come to the show, and they're coming back this week with their entire families. So, you know, it's an approved, it's a Jackie fan approved show.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And do you get
love Jackie.
Do you get into any of the drama where your mother got pregnant with you?
Yeah.
And what was Jackie's reaction to that? Is that delved into?
Oh, give him one of the lines.
The New York Times referenced the song that we used to sell that event when he was in court for a paternity suit that his mother took, that Sheba's mother in real life took him to. And the title of the song is "I Never Met This Yenta." I never met this Yenta. So he goes on and says he denies the entire thing. And then, of course, the blood test proves that it's entirely legitimate. He has to pay child support for 20. Oh,
well, she's sort of like Rhea, the Titan goddess of fertility.
There you go. The Greek reference is coming out.
Look, he's digging deep. So the song starts off with him like totally denying it. And then by the end of it, he says, "All right, I guess the baby's mine. Oi."
Oh,
you
know? Wow.
So, you know, it's a real story about real people. So, you know, there's even a song in it called Celebrity Seekers, where you see him being surrounded by celebrities and how annoying / fulfilling that can be. You know,
we have a song called The Jews on the Media, you know.
No, <we don't>.
now you do the Jackie voice the whole time.
Once in a while, we bring it out. You know, if we have to bring it out, then we'll do it. If you want to hear it, we'll give it to you. You need it here.
Well,
we'll
that's good.
There it is.
There's even a
that's
nightclub really scene good. Where he does part of his act. You know?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
With his real jokes? And can you do that legally?
Now that he's dead.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Well, you know it's Jackie's joke, so it's not like he's a comedian stealing his joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
all right,
hard to find somebody that can play Jackie Mason.
I'm not an attorney, but I don't know what the legalities of that would be, but I won't.
We have several on our staff. It's
okay.
It's
okay. But you know, I do a Jackie.
This sounds really interesting.
But you're not the only one.
There it is. Hey,
you're not the only one. they come. I tell you this. What's your name? this he is worthy. He's playing me. But let me tell you something. He's no Jackie Mason. I don't know.
We'll have to have a Jackie off. We'll have to have a Jackie
this
off.
Man,
Jackie
how
off
this
right,
man
right
makes
right on this video
a,
show.
Because quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, how this man makes a living. This Ian Worthy. He does by he does doing my jokes. I'm not even alive.
So this show seems to like run, you know, represent the Greek mass of comedy and
all right,
tragedy.
We get it.
So you know it's funny.
It's almost Dionysian.
Almost.
Nice.
If Jackie drank wine, then it would be Dionysian.
Wait, so you've been doing this for 10 years?
No, I'm dwarven.
So did Jackie, he was familiar with the show?
Well, tell the folks what Jackie said about the show in its early incarnation.
Well, in a very early incarnation, because, you know, my mother is a playwright. She's written other plays, and like she was an artist when she was dating him too, and songwriter and stuff. So she wrote like about her three seasons with Jackie Mason. She had a few like a little musings about it.
He would date her every time he would come down to Florida, and then he would go back and date other people in New York.
Date her.
He was a real, you know, hound. Anyway, so there was one incarnation where he actually introduced the show and he said, I can't believe this Yenta finds me so interesting that she wrote a play about me. And he was really cute about it. But, you know, they were still having sex at that time.
Yeah.
So this is after you were like well after you were born, obviously, that he was still on and off with your mom.
No. So he was with her for 10 years and then I was born. And then
he said,
then he stopped.
Right. But didn't you? Oh, but the play
this is like
was
when she was first dating him, like the first 3 years she wrote a little bit about
in the show's current iteration. It's only been running 10 years, but there are early scenes that Ginger, her mother, had written as far back as 30 years ago.
Right. But did he see the one that you're doing in the past 10 years? That was my question.
Oh, no, he never saw that one.
But there's a funny story.
He did meet him
That's
briefly
not the funny
and
story.
Told
the,
him that you
the
were
a funny story about the girlfriend.
Oh, he had a girlfriend who was like an Asian girl, and they were in the New York Post because
2014.
He was like hitting her with a phone, and she accused him of cheating on her. But he started hitting her in the middle of the night with a phone. But in his defense, that's the only thing you could really do with AT&T phones. So she actually ended up coming to see the play at his age. He was still screwing this young, much younger girl.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, attempting to screw.
Yeah.
But she came to commiserate with other people that had been screwed by Jackie Mason.
And now no one's going to do another Greek reference. As if we haven't had enough, as he's made his point.
No, but there is something Greek about the full circle nature of all of this. No,
totally.
The daughter of this legendary comedian and processing, you know, all of the distance, but also the, you know, it does feel like there's a lot there.
There's a lot, you know, and I don't know if this is interesting or not, but we also dated for like 7.5 years.
Such a scene.
Ian,
such
where are you
scene.
From?
From New Jersey.
You mind your business, Dan.
He had a weird accent. I mean, he has a weird.
Well, he's playing Jackie Mason. Okay. You know, you get lost in the middle of that.
Yeah, like he almost sounds Southern sometimes, right?
It just seems a little weird.
Well, how does he know so much? Why do you know
he
so much
articulates
about Greek
words very well? He's trained in the theater.
Thank you.
Why do you know so much about Greek mythology?
He mentioned one word.
I love Greek mythology.
He mentioned one or two words about Greek mythology.
No, I said Dionysius. He knew his drinking. Like he knows.
I know Dionysius.
I study myths, man. I study myths. You know, no, I'm also a former employee of yours. 2 weeks before you turned the Village Underground into the Comedy Cellar, I was an audio engineer in the Village Underground. I was hired for 2 weeks, and then they said, we're turning it into a comedy place.
It's not that I don't remember. I
because let's be honest about it. He hadn't really for
I don't
weeks.
I have no That's idea who work. I'm talking to.
There's less work than a competent person does in a day. It takes Ian Worthy 2 weeks to plug in a thing, and then poof, and he turns into a car.
Look at Noam.
Well, where's Noam smirking at?
Well, because he's trying to get a sentence out.
I'm sorry. Noam?
No, it was good. Dan got some laughs at home. It was good what he did.
Were you going to say you didn't remember? You don't remember everybody that worked there.
I can't see anybody, so I can't tell.
You can't see?
You can't see?
It's dark. It's dark. You see us on the camera, it's very dark.
Well, the cameras are side shots. I can't. It's so
anyway,
small on my little laptop.
I wouldn't expect you to remember.
Anyway,
do you have any? The Greek god of memory?
That's Mnemosyne, and that was one of the nine muses of memory.
He knows his Greek history.
Mnemosyne, like mnemonic.
Mnemonic. You got it.
I will be darned. It's all coming together. So, are you still running that room, by the way? The Three Monkeys, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That's your room. It's a bar, but you do shows there. I don't know if you want to plug that. I mean, Noam is not insecure.
Well, how could he be insecure?
I mean, when you run the Comedy Cellar,
it's
very hard to be in threatened.
Noam has a heavy face.
Well, mostly I'm here to plug the play.
Okay.
The Jackie Mason musical.
As an extension.
Yeah, we got extended because it was so busy.
Discount.
Yeah.
If you get tickets before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Where can people get tickets?
TheJackieMasonMusical.com. And like, what is the discount code?
THANKS. Thanks. You put in the discount code thanks, you'll get a discount.
I met Sheba's mother at Three Monkeys, and she looks just like Sheba. I mean, she's a little spitfire, you know, with big hair and very, very sweet woman. I enjoyed meeting her. And then your father, your stepfather, the rabbi or the cantor.
Yeah, cantor. Yeah, you met him too.
Anyway,
I handpicked you that night because they were coming.
That's right. Yeah,
I actually said they're coming. Can you perform? Because I knew they would find you special.
Is your mother Jewish as well, Sheba?
Yeah, she's Jewish. Remember, my mother read your book and wrote a really good review.
Oh, that's
for you.
Right. She did. Yes. Yeah. Which, by the way, is available on Amazon. Iris Spiro before COVID, available on Amazon.
I go, which parts of this are true? Because, well, not the part where I was like screwing a much younger girl. That part's not true. He's like, other than that, the whole thing is about me.
I didn't say that. I mean,
I know.
If I said that, it's not true. In fact, it's one of the few parts of the book that is true. But the part that's not true is that the character in the book won an Oscar for best original screenplay.
That part's not true.
And had and that part's not true.
You got to have some poetic license.
Well, it's not an autobiography. It's a novel. I used my life as fodder, but not, it wasn't autobiographical. I mean, it was autobiographical elements, but it wasn't an autobiography. It was not an autobiography.
Noam, can I ask you what you're doing in Israel?
I'm a guest of the Israeli government. They're trying to convince me to be pro-Israel.
Well, they don't have to work too hard for that. But
I know
you were just in Israel, right?
Yeah, I was there for about a month. What? How's the food?
The food in Israel is quite good. We have not had it. We've been eating in these kosher restaurants.
Oy, why?
Because. The Israeli government is putting, I don't know. But on the whole, the trip has been fantastic.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. What's been, can you give us a couple of highlights?
Yeah, I walked through a Hezbollah tunnel.
Wow.
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I saw went all the way up to an Iron Dome battery. We met the guy in charge of the Gaza interface that allows, you know, goods to go back and forth. We spoke to a lot of interesting people.
Wow. You're gonna have to tell us all about that.
Okay, well, we'll wait till Noam gets back to hear more details, but I think we need to wrap this up.
I'll have to consult the Greek god of Terminus.
Morpheus. Was Morpheus a Greek god?
Kronos. If you're running out of time, that's Kronos.
No, but the god sleep, right? Was Morpheus.
Maybe. I don't know that one. You want to?
That's where you get morphine from?
It might be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like in Morpheus, well, somebody can look that up because Noam seems tired and it's late there in Israel.
It's like 2 a.m. for Noam.
Oh, yeah. Shit, is it? It's 1:44.
Morpheus is a god associated with sleep and dreams, ancient Greece.
Must be where morphine comes from.
Probably is.
Very nice, yeah, Sheba. Yeah, all right, let Noam go to sleep.
Thank you for listening and watching. Those of you who are, I guess, watching us the video, podcast at comedyseller.com for all your comments, suggestions. Thank you, Sheba.
What did you guys talk about for the first 25 minutes?
We talked.
How Netanyahu in who's what's going on there politically? No, just quickly, is he going to be the president? Okay, we don't know.
Prime Minister. Prime Minister, I think he is. Yeah.
We talked about Farrakhan before you got
here. How he looks amazing for 89, and he's still vigorous and dynamic.
He had had cancer too, like 20 years ago.
Nicole, any thoughts?
Nothing from me.
Okay, once again, Binghamton, New York. Podcasted, well, they're very tight-lipped up there. Podcast at ComedyCellar.com for comments and suggestions. Thank you, Sheba. Thank you, Ian Worley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dov Davidoff. Yes, we will see you next time. Bye-bye.